I just want to continue to instruct you after we've been praying for a while here in the Spirit. I think that's important to do. You'll notice that sometimes when you're praying, it may be a little hard to get started. It's just your flesh. It's just your flesh that is, and so you just keep praying in Spirit and you plow through that area. You know what I mean by plow through? You purpose to go forward in your prayer language, and you don't pay any attention to what's going on around you. You don't, and pretty soon your mind will get to a place where it's quiet. It's quiet. A lot of times I've told you how I sometimes will handle that, but if my mind wants to talk to me, I write it down so it can't say that same thing again to me. You know, especially if it wants to, you didn't do this today, you forgot to do that, and your mind keeps going, you know? Your mind wants to keep going, so you have to get it to a place where it's quiet. And then when your mind gets quiet, you can hear what God's saying to you. Amen? You can hear what God's saying to you. He's talking to everybody all the time. All the time. All the time. He's talking all the time. This is not my lesson. But anyway, he's talking all the time. And he wants to fellowship with you. He wants to tell you about things that are going to come in your life. He wants to tell you how to move around those obstacles that are coming. He knows about the obstacles that are coming. And you may not know, but he knows about them. And he knows, and he wants to tell you about them so you can pray around them. Or you can pray through them. Or he can give you wisdom to walk through the situation. Amen? He wants to help us. That's why the Holy Spirit has come. One reason is to help us, to comfort us. He's the intercessor. He's the standby. He's right with you wherever you go. Right with you. He sees everything you do. He knows everything about you. That's why when you pray in your prayer language, what happens is you're praying in your prayer language, and you may be over here in left field about the word, or you may be over here in left field with a flesh thing that you're doing. If you pray in your prayer language, the Holy Spirit is going to move you right back where you need to be. He's going to get you on track, and he's going to start telling you, stop dealing with the sin. No, that's not right. He's going to start telling you to deal with the sin. Stop playing games. That's what I wanted to say. Stop playing games and deal with the sin. He's going to reveal to you the sin area in your life. You may be praying in the Spirit maybe for two years. You're praying in your prayer language, and all of a sudden he reveals to you, well, that's sin in your life. That's sin. You maybe didn't recognize it, but it's sin in your life. And so then he reveals to you, you need to deal with it. Okay, so what do you do once you have sin revealed to you? What do? You repent. You ask the Lord to forgive you, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Then you make a choice to walk the right way. You make a choice to walk the right way. And it's in that place of choice, walking against the sin thing, that's going to bring the freedom. The Holy Spirit reveals it to you, but it's walking against it. It's making a choice not to let it run your life anymore. It's making a choice to live for God. It's making a choice to do what's right. It's making a choice. Now, you've got the Holy Spirit has built you up to be able to believe you can do that. You know, he built you up in your most holy faith, and he keeps you in the love of God. Well, you have the ability on the inside of you to make the right choice, and then not only make the right choice, to walk the right way. Amen? Amen. You have that ability on the inside. He's called the helper. He's called the helper. You have that ability on the inside of me. And inside of you, excuse me, I've got it too, but anyway. And you know what? I've been doing this for years. But he still is revealing some things to me that I need to correct and change. He still is. But you know, my heart wants to hear that. This is none of my message. Excuse me, guys. But my heart wants to hear the truth about that. You know why? Why do I want to hear the truth about that? So I'm not deceived. So that I can serve him in a greater measure than I did yesterday. If I can walk free from junk, then I can serve him in a greater measure. I can lay hands on the sick and expect more to happen. I can cast out devils and expect the big ones to go. I mean, we should be in that place anyway, but you know what I'm saying? There's not the doubt and the unbelief and the fear. The more I walk after the things of the Spirit, I get rid of doubt and fear and unbelief. You know, fear, you can get rid of fear in one area, but that doesn't necessarily mean fear is gone. You can have fear pop up in another area, and you still have to walk that out yourself anyway. You follow what I'm saying? You follow what I'm saying? Everybody got that? So these things like that we deal with have facets. I mean, I can be afraid of heights over here, and I can be afraid of crowds over here. Each one of those has to be walked against. You have to walk it out. But see, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So you have the ability to walk it out. When you pray in the Spirit, He'll line you up with that scripture verse. You'll believe that scripture verse, and the next time fear shows its head, I'm not yielding to that. I'm going to climb that mountain. I'm going to go up that ladder. I've been up some ladders some of you probably would never go up. But anyway, I've gone into places. You know, fear doesn't have a right. Fear does not have a place to be a part of you. So praying in the Spirit exposes that stuff, and then He'll help you deal with it as well. Amen? Amen. Okay, so do you think we should start the lesson? That was pretty good. I'm hot too. I mean, I'm not hot. It's the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, guys, but you know what I mean. Maybe so. I am warm. Whew. Okay, well, is that all we want to say right now? I got to find out for sure if he's done talking. I think so. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 6. And a lot of this is going to be out of the Amplified. Ephesians 6. And some of these scripture verses we hit last week, but you know, I really don't care if we hit them last week and if we hit them the next 10 weeks in a row. Until we get it, until we start doing it, then we'll keep talking about it. Oh my, that could be a long time. I hope not. Anyway, so my heart, I started to say before we did praise and worship, my heart is to get the church praying. Because, you know, like I talked about last week, Jesus taught his disciples, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we're a disciple, that's our heart too. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. God's building his kingdom. So what we want to do is we want to pray his kingdom in manifestation here. That's the purpose of the church here is to be praying. We should have, you know, like when Peter was in prison, we talked about this last week, I'm not going there today, but when Peter was in prison, the church was together, and it wasn't just, you know, the church was together in unified prayer, and it was fervent prayer. You know what fervent prayer is? That's that hot boiling prayer. When you hear me get aggressive after something in the spirit realm, that's that hot boiling prayer. You've heard me do that. I'm sure if you were here last week, you heard me do that. That's that hot boiling intercessory prayer that brings a change in the situation. And the church, because you have the help of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, the church has the ability to pray that hot boiling prayer all the time in every situation. Now, that's not saying, see, there's all types of prayers that we've been given. We've been given the prayer of faith. I mean, we've been taught and told and talked to about the prayer of faith. That primarily is for you yourself, because everything's been done and given to you. Oh, man, I'm going fast. Everything has been done and given to you by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have every need met. Is that right? Every need met. But you have been taught to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So if you have been given everything that pertains to life and godliness, then you need to know how to pray effectively. So we can pray his will and his kingdom come here on earth. So if you have need of finances, Father, I know you meet, this is your prayer. Father, I know you meet every need that I have, and I thank you right now in Jesus' name that you said your kingdom come, your will be done. Finances belong to me. And I ask you, Father, for whatever amount of finances you need. I ask you, Father, for the finances to come in Jesus' name. Now, you may have to take off and pray in your prayer language and deal with demonic influences that want to hold up your finances. Because they are. Remember we talked about Daniel last week and how Daniel had asked for something. The minute he prayed, it took 21 days. It took 21 days for the answer to come. So when we ask the Lord to meet the need or for healing or whatever it is, we have to stay on it like a chicken on a bug. You stay on it. You don't let it go. You don't let it go. You don't say, well, I didn't get it. We've talked about this before. I didn't get it in the next 5 minutes. I mean, that's the way we expect things now. We go through the drive up and we have our meal in less than 5 minutes. And so, God, prayer is staying steadfast. It's believing what you've asked the Lord for and you don't let go of it. Okay. Amen. Thanks, Craig. Okay. So I told you to turn to Ephesians 6:18. Prayer, I was just talking about the importance of prayer, and prayer is the way God's going to get his kingdom to manifest here on earth. Prayer is going to be it. That's the way it's going to happen. You know, everything that has happened has been birth that has come forth. It's all because of prayer. Your callings will all be because you've prayed in the Spirit and you've dealt with those things that are hindering your calling or hindering you from knowing what your calling is. Every one of you has a calling. Even little Remy back there has a calling already on him. You know? I was, Josiah, you got a calling. You were smiling. Do you know what your calling is already? Huh? He's smiling back there. Anyway. So everybody, you know, I was just interceding for a situation with a family and the Lord just showed me that the calling, the baby is not here yet, but the Lord told me the calling was going to be the same as the dad's calling, similar calling. And so that's exciting. You know, it's exciting to know. But anyway, y'all have a calling. Y'all have something to do for the Lord. And I don't care if you're 99, you still have something to do for the Lord. Amen. So be encouraged in that. You have something to do for the Lord. It's not too late getting busy doing it. Find out what it is, and that's praying the Spirit will help you find out what that is. Amen? Amen. Okay, Ephesians 6:18. Let's pray. Let's pray. Ephesians 6:18. And this is out of the Amplified. Pray at all times. Pray at all times. Everything. Talk to the Father about it. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Well, okay. Pray at all times. On every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Okay? With all manner of prayer and entreaty. And we talked about there's different kinds of prayers. But we're just mainly focusing on that intercessory prayer right now. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Now, just to expound upon that a little bit, when I go to intercede for somebody, the Lord may, what I use is tap me. I use those words, tap me, but actually he'll prompt you here in your belly. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water. Just this last week, I went to bed. I usually go around midnight, but I think I went a little early. But I was bothered right here. You know what I mean by bothered? It's like if you eat a sour pickle or you eat something that bothers you, you know, you have a little, or let's say, I'm trying to help you understand because when you experience this bother, you'll know to pray. Let's say you were expecting something to happen and it didn't happen. It was a disappointment. You know how you can feel bad right here, feel bad on the inside. You know what I mean? Anyway, I went to bed and I started feeling that on the inside here. And I'm okay, I don't really want to do this right now, Lord. You know how that goes. I don't really want to intercede. But I knew that if I didn't deal with it, I wouldn't sleep very good. So I had to start praying and interceding. And I said, Father, I don't know what it is. What is it you're talking to me about? What's the problem? I don't know. I didn't have anybody on my thinking. I had nothing going on. I said, Father, what is the problem? I don't know, but I'm going to yield to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to pray, and I believe it's going to be effective. So I told him that, Father, I don't know what this is, but I'm going to pray. Pretty soon, he showed me what it was. And I went over there and I started dealing with it. I started breaking the power of demonic influences, groaning and travailing, and standing in the gap for that situation until I got a release in the same spot. The release meaning sometimes it's the release is so wonderful. It's such a velvety feeling. You know, just like I always think of that red velvet cake. It's better than that. But anyway, it's always like eating a piece of red velvet cake. You just have that velvety feeling. And you know when you get that velvety feeling, whatever you were praying about is changed. You just know that. Now, sometimes it can be a note of victory. Like, oh yeah, we got it. Or it can be a song. You break out in song. Or you can break out in laughter. Those are the releases that you can expect when you pray in line with His will and pray and intercede for all the saints, like it says here. It says, to that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Well, how do we pray for all the saints? How do we pray for all of them? Just like I said, the Lord will come and tap you. He'll witness, you'll have it on the inside. And you may not know who you're praying for, and you may know exactly who you're praying for. I think a couple of weeks I talked about one night, my husband and I, we were living on Marion Street, and I had a witness to pray, and I didn't know what it was. And I started praying, and all of a sudden, I realized it was for my sister. And my sister, and Dick says, he started joining, and he says, yeah, it's for your sister. So we prayed until we had a release, and we found out that next day she had been in an automobile accident, and she was okay, though. But see, your prayer, you can't ignore when God taps you to pray for somebody. You can't ignore that, even you, Sky. You can't ignore that. If the Lord comes over and he says, Sky, I want you to pray for your sister. You may not know why, but you want to pray for her. You know, when you guys pray for each other, it builds a bond of love and unity for each other. It's important that you do that. It's important. It's important. There's a lot that goes on when we pray. So anyway, you don't want to ignore that because what happens is if you don't pray, maybe it will find somebody else and maybe he won't. He's trying to find somebody to pray about that situation so that person isn't killed in an automobile accident or so that person doesn't die or whatever is going on in the situation. I mean, I've heard of things happening when people have been in the wars, when they've been in their submarines, and the submarine was having a problem. And this lady in the United States did not know anything that was going on. And she started interceding, and she started sensing that there was something with a submarine. And so she prayed until she got a release. Well, then at that same time, the submarine, they got it fixed and was able to rise up out of the water. Otherwise, all those men would have died in that submarine. So you can't negate the need for the church to be praying. Just like when they prayed, the church prayed in Acts. And they were praying fervent prayer, and Peter was released. And how miraculous that was. We can pray that same kind of prayer and see things change. Amen? Amen. Okay. Okay, in verse 19 then, it's still in Ephesians 6. And also for me, see, we're also supposed to pray for people. You're supposed to be praying for me. And people that minister the word. Also for me, that freedom of utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news for the gospel. Amen? To proclaim boldly. It's good news that the church comes into a place of prayer. It really is. I'm excited. I want to see when we bring a situation before this church that we pray fervently until that situation turns completely around. I don't care if it's somebody that needs healing. I don't care if it's somebody that needs finances. Whatever it is, I want to be that fervent praying church that can change things and get God's will in the midst of the situation. Okay? I just want to, let's go to 1 Timothy. I want you to see a few things that the church or you are supposed to be praying for. And 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 4. You little ones are doing great. Thank you very much. I'll try not to be as long-winded as I was last week, okay? Is that okay? Okay, thank you. Okay. Okay, first of all, we're chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, then, I admonish and urge you that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in a positions of authority or high responsibility, that outwardly we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, and inwardly a peaceable one in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. For such praying is good and right, and it is pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior. So we're supposed to be praying for those in authority. And that can be President Trump, people in Congress, people in authority in your local government, your state government. And, you know, I just want to, I thank God that we have a godly president, and we have a governor that didn't implement everything that she could. Some states are having a lot of issues. They haven't even been allowed to go back to church. And so President Trump, you know, he's a godly man and wants the church to be meeting and coming together. Because, you know, I was standing back there at the back, and I could just feel, not necessarily here, but I can feel the fracture in the church. And the enemy would have wanted to bring a fracture in the church. You know what I mean? Because then the church isn't going to be as aggressive at praying. The church isn't going to be as aggressive at doing the things of God that the church has been called to do. Amen? It's fractured. That means that the body of Christ needs to be pulled back together. And we can do that in prayer, okay? Okay, so that's something. We're supposed to be praying for those in authority. We're also supposed to be praying for Jerusalem. I'm not going to turn you to that scripture verse, but that's really important. One time when we were praying for Jerusalem. I think that was when they were being bombed. I don't know how long ago that was, but I was interceding, and the Lord showed me these two great big angels that were standing. Do you remember when they were trying to bomb? The bombs would be missing and going too far. They'd be going this way. And, you know, my picture was the angels were taken, and you know how they bat them off so they weren't hitting Jerusalem. So I knew on the inside everything was going to be okay for Jerusalem, because I saw these two big angels standing there protecting Jerusalem. And you remember when they had Desert Storm? There was a lady that came to us that her son was in Desert Storm. And so we prayed and interceded. And that night, I wasn't real familiar with what Iraq looked like. But that night, the Lord showed me exactly how they were going to go up Iraq. Our guys were going to go up Iraq. And there wasn't going to be any loss. And do you remember? I think that's the way it happened, if I remember right. There wasn't going to be any loss. They just took them just like that. And so the Lord wants to show you those things too when you're praying for people. He wants to show you those things, and he will, okay? Let's look at James 5, and I'm going to be in the Amplified again. James 5, I want to talk to you about Elijah a little bit. We may have to finish this next week, but anyway, James 5:16 out of the Amplified. I'm going to start with the last part, but we'll read the whole thing. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. That's the church. That's us. The earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. I mean, if you just meditate on that. You, remember last week I asked you, I said, if you were the only person praying, do you know that you could accomplish something? That's the mindset you have to have when you go into prayer. I'm going to change that situation, even if it's only you praying. Okay? So, verse 17, then Elijah was a human being with nature. He's just like us, okay? Nature such as we have, with feelings, affections and constitution as ourselves. And Elijah prayed earnestly. He's just like us, remember? He's just like you. Say, Elijah. He's just like me. He's got feelings. He's got affections. Just like me. And so he prayed earnestly. Elijah prayed earnestly for it not to rain. And no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. 3 years and 6 months. And he's just like you, Rob. 3 years and 6 months. He prayed that, you know what? And then the Lord said, okay, it's time. They've done what they need to do. It's time for you to pray for the rain to come back. So he prayed for the rain to come back. He did it. He did it. Okay? He did it. So I want you to see that you can do that as well. And now let's look at 1 John. We're pretty close to that. 1 John. I really wasn't gearing to get into too much intercession, the groaning and travailing. You hear me do that anyway. But see, the groaning and travailing is just another step further. You all got your prayer language. You all pray in the Spirit. You yield to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That groaning and travailing is right there with it. It's right behind that. And it's all part of praying in the Spirit. It's all prayer language. It's all prayer language, just a little deeper. Groaning and travailing is just a little deeper. And it's going further. It's doing something. It's basically the Holy Spirit, when you yield to Him, He wants to pray something, and it's hard for... It's just easier for Him to groan it out, travail it out. And sometimes the groaning, and I've experienced this, that groaning and travailing is so tough. It's so tough that you just have to stay with it until you get a note of victory. Otherwise, if you abort, then the whole thing's been aborted. But it's just that groaning or travailing, you probably never heard me do it. Some people, I don't think anybody's here that's heard me, but it's just a really tough place. It's a tough place. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can pray that out and get a victory, okay? Like I said, you've heard me do some of it. When you hear me pray for individuals, I'm standing in the gap and interceding and groaning and travailing. Okay, so I want you to look at 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is, we use this prayer a lot on Wednesday nights. We always close with this prayer. And this is, again, this is out of Amplified. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in Him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any requests according to His will, in agreement with His own plan, He listens to us and hears us. Verse 15. And if since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the requests made of Him. So this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that God hears us. We have to have that confidence that we know He hears us. So if we've asked in line with His will, we know He hears us. And if, then we know He hears us. And if He hears us, then we have the things that we have asked of Him. It's just real simple. It's a simple blueprint that the church should use. Now, sometimes, I don't know if we'll get to all that. But anyway, sometimes the church, what they need to do then, they don't know how to pray God's will. So you can look at Romans 8, 26 and 27. You know, the Holy Spirit helps us pray when we don't know how to. Is that right? I wasn't going to take you over there because we talked about it a little bit. But He helps us pray when we don't know how to. So what we have to do is we pray as much as we can in English about a situation. And then we yield to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And we take off and pray in our prayer language. Then what happens when He shows you, when you're praying in your prayer language, He's going to show you about the situation. He's going to show you and tell you. You may see a picture. You may hear a word. That's a spirit of fear you're dealing with. And He wants you to bind the spirit of fear and command it to go. When the Holy Spirit shows you, then you know that you have His will, God's will. And then you pray that back out to the Father because you want to pray God's will. And so if you're praying God's will, Then the angels hearken to the word of the Lord, and they act on it and cause it to happen. Amen. I talked about that last week, but I want you to understand that we pray as much as we can in English. We pray as much as we can in English. We yield to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and then we take hold together with Him in Jesus' name. And then He prays. We start praying, and then He lines us back up with God's will, or tells us God's will if we didn't know what God's will was to begin with. He helps us know what God's will is. See, the reason it's important to pray God's will, we just saw that in 1 John. We just saw that it's important to pray God's will so that we know that we have those things which we've asked from Him. So He'll help you pray God's will. And I want to just, I can tell we're needing to finish, and I'm not getting anywhere here. But anyway, I just gave you that kind of briefly. And when we pray in the Holy Spirit, He takes hold together with us. Okay, He takes hold together with us, or we take hold together with Him. If He comes to tell you a situation, then you just say, Father, I don't know what this is I'm praying about, but I'm gonna yield to you, and I'm gonna take hold with you, and let's go. Let's deal with it, you know, let's go. Let's pray about that. I was doing intercession the other night with somebody, and all of a sudden we was praying about this situation over here, and then the Lord took me over here to pray for this individual. Now, it was connected somehow, but I just had to be obedient to go pray for that person. Even though we were over here praying about this, we want God's will when we pray. Amen? Okay, so we pray His will. And when the Holy Spirit takes hold together with us, it's like if I had, Josh, I want you to come up here and pick up this piano and move it, would you? Okay, no, don't really do that, but anyway, I knew you were ready to do it, weren't you? Okay, well, let's say Josh can't do it, so Jeff, could you take hold together with Josh and move that piano? So see, the Holy Spirit is going to take hold together with you and move the situation, okay? Okay, so sometimes when we come to Him to pray about a situation, see, He taps us to pray, we take hold together with Him. When we come to Him, Father, I don't know what to do about this job situation. I just don't know what to do. So then He takes hold together with you and helps you pray out His will for you. Okay? Okay, so just either way, the Holy Spirit's helping us. Okay? So I want to just do a quick demonstration of that just a little bit. Okay? So when we pray, we go to the Father. Father God, in Jesus' name. And then you can pour out your heart. Your heart may not be saying things that are God's will, but it's important to pour out your heart to Him, okay? Pour out your heart. And that can just, I'll just demonstrate something. I say, Father, I don't know what's going on with this situation, but I don't like it. I don't know if I did something wrong or if they did something wrong. I don't know what to do about it, Father, but I know, you have the answer. You have how to pray this out correctly. And so, Father, I don't know what to do. I'm going to yield to you leadership of the Holy Spirit, and you help me pray it out. And then I go, now at that point in time, I may go into a groan or travail, or I may just pray in my spirit. And He shows me then He shows me what's going on, and He'll tell me, it's your fault. He'll say to me, it's your fault. You need to repent. You weren't very nice in what you said. Now, I'm not like that. You know me. But anyway, you need to repent. That wasn't a right thing to say to that person. Repent. Ask the Lord to forgive you. And then He may tell you, go deal with it with that person. See, or He may show you something else that's going on. Okay? Okay. And He may show you maybe that person had hurts or wounds. You know, when you know the story about Lazarus, when Jesus called him out of the grave, he was raised up from the dead. He was brought to new life. Can we say it like that? He was brought to new life, but he still had the grave clothes on him. Well, Jesus said, he told the disciples, go release him and let him free. Set him free. So us as disciples, is that me doing that? I got that thing right up there in my armpit. Anyway, as that was kind of funny. What's that? Anyway, as disciples, it's our job. You know, people get born again, and some of them may get rid of, you know, like I've told you, I got rid of the swearing right off the bat. But there's other things that I've had to deal with, that I've had to walk through. And so people get born again, praise the Lord, but they're carrying some grave clothes. They're carrying some hurts and wounds, disappointments in their life. You know, it's really good if you can catch children at a young age. You get them at a young age, you teach them the truth. And you won't have to deal with a lot of junk that young people are dealing with nowadays, you know. But praise God, the church has the power to deal with it. The church has the ability by laying hands on the sick and by casting out devils, by praying healing. So when you're in intercession, somebody, the Lord may show you they're hurt. They have wounds. They're tormented. Well, why are they tormented? Because they've maybe done something wrong. Whatever. You stand in the gap and you repent on their behalf. You ask the Lord to forgive them, cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Now, whatever we do when we stand in the gap for somebody, we're pushing back everything that is the grave clothes that's on, and we're pushing it back. They still have to walk out of those grave clothes. They still have to walk free. You understand what I'm saying? They still have to make the choice. But now we've given them an opportunity to hear the truth by our standing in the gap and praying in intercession for them. We give them the opportunity as we're pushing it back off of their souls. We push it back off of their souls. That way then they can make a right choice to walk out of it. Okay, a right choice to walk out of it. Now, if they don't make a right choice the first time, what's that say? Okay, you're going to get back into intercession. You're going to push it back. You're going to push it back. You're going to stay on it until they make the right choice to walk out of it. Amen. That's where the perseverance comes in. That's where the perseverance comes in. You don't give up. You don't let it go. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. And you know that prayer works. Hopefully by the time we get done talking about prayer, you know that it works. So I would encourage you this week. We'll be done a little sooner today because I know the little ones are doing really good. I would encourage you this week to just simply put some of this to work in your life. Just take a piece of, just simply, like, just go to the Father and say, Father, I don't know if you're in a situation. I don't know how to get this to happen, Father. What do you say about it? Pray in your prayer language. Let him talk to you. Get someplace where your mind can be quiet. And sometimes your mind doesn't want to be quiet. It wants to yell and holler. You need to go do this. Go call that person. Go help that person. Go get this done. That's how you're going to get that finances to come. No, you get quiet. You get God's plan. He's going to tell you how to do it. And then you can go do it. Okay? You can go do it. So put the prayer aspect to work. Pray what you know in English. Yield to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And whatever he shows you in prayer, pray that out in English. Pray it out in English. And let the angels move on what God's will is for that situation. And then bring that into manifestation. Amen? God will bring it into manifestation. And don't let go of it until it manifests. Don't let go of it. And even, I learned this early on, even after it manifests, you stay on it. You have to stay on it in prayer. Why? Why do we have to keep praying after it happens? Because the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy, and he wants to steal it back from you. And unless you stay on it, he's gonna try to do it again. So you stay on it in prayer until the Lord tells you that's enough. Okay? You listen to him. Listen to your Father. He's got the answers. He's got the answers to every situation. Amen? He's got the answer. He's got the answer to every situation. You have to know that, otherwise you won't pray. You have to know God's got your answer. God's got your answer. And the faster you can get to prayer, the faster you can get the answer. Amen? Okay. Father, we just want to thank you for your word today. We want to thank you, Father, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. And we yield to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit is here to help us, to lead us and guide us into all truth, to show us things to come, to encourage us, just to be right there, Father, right there, as if Jesus was walking with us. Father, in our walk with you, we just thank you that you have sent the Holy Spirit to take his place and to help us in our everyday need, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Now, I just heard two words. go rejoicing. Because you've got the answer. Amen? You've got the answer. You know what to do to outmaneuver the enemy. You know what to do to get your needs met. You know what to do. You need to pray.